I am in the group participation. It's like saying sick 'em. I mean, that's how shallow I am. But you got to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That ain't just a Southern thing. That's a saved thing.
Yeah.
Bible says in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I believe that. I take that literally. If somebody gets saved in the service where I'm at and they don't want to come down front and say something about it, I'm worried about that. Because the Bible said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. I'm not ashamed of him this morning. He is the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm not ashamed of him. I can tell it anywhere. I can tell it up here in Massachusetts. Amen. He's the best there is. Amen. Verse 12 said, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich and all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? There's a good question mark right there. Amen. Nowadays, folks, we ain't sending preachers out no more. We're in a mess. Amen. Nowadays, we just send them to a Bible school somewhere, and when you do that, you lose them. Amen. When you send your best kids down to Bible school, they're never more to return, usually. Amen. You say, are you against Bible schools? I don't know. Maybe I am now. I tell you what, a church ought to send a preacher out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. Thank you, God, for putting us in the church. God, I thank you for the preachers that have preached to us. And God, thank you for my pastor this morning. I pray you'll bless him. And God, use him this morning. And God, bless Brother Piet. And bless this church and help them to realize what they got. And Lord, I pray you'll bless in this time. Bless this meeting. I pray you'll grant the desire of the folks' heart, what they prayed for God, you to move and do what needs to be done. Revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to preach this morning for a little while in Sunday school about thank God for your preacher.
Amen.
Thank God for your preacher. Where would you be right now without a preacher? Where in the world? How would you be right now if God never put a preacher in your life? Amen. I mean, what kind of person would you be without a preacher? And the day and age we're living in now, I'm telling you, we must preach about this. Because we're getting to a time now where people, they don't want to stick nowhere. You got that Teflon Christianity. They don't want to stick nowhere. I'm telling you, here in this church, in this town, God has sent you a pastor.
Amen.
Amen. And how you deal with him and how you are with him shows me what kind of Christian you are. Amen. Sitting here this morning, I realized during Sunday school that I probably got the cream of the crop here this morning. Amen. The other ones will be dragging in here in the other hour. Amen. But I don't know, maybe we got a few that snuck in here that maybe you just ain't right with your pastor. I'll tell you ain't right with him, you ain't right with God. Amen, amen. Thank God for your preacher. He's called pastor. That means he's the leader or watcher of the flock. My pastor says, I'm not the dictator here. I'm just here to make sure nobody else is. Amen. He's the boss. When me and Brother Jesse's here this week, we have to listen to him.
That's right.
Amen. Say, why? He's not that good a guy. No, he ain't. Look at him. He's just like anybody else. But his position that he's in, that's what separates him from the rest of the crowd here this morning. Amen. He's the pastor. He's the boss. He's the honcho. Amen. And this newfangled Christianity, I don't like it. I watched Joel Osteen this morning just to get mad. I just get my fix just to get aggravated. You say, would you like to whoop him? No, I let my wife do that. Amen. He's called a bishop. Bishop in the Bible, he's the overseer of the church. He's the caretaker. Amen. I mean, if somebody throws up on the carpet, it's one of his concerns to get it cleaned up. Amen. He'd come in here and the chairs would be all messed up. It'd bother him. Say, why? He's the bishop here. He's the caretaker. Yeah. He's also called an elder. That's a place of respect. He's an example. Amen. You ought to respect him. That don't mean you worship him, but he gains some respect because the office he holds. And when you get you a church and pastor a church, God's put you in there, we'll give you the same. But until then, guess what? You're just a drip. You're a nobody. You're just somebody else. Amen. How's it feel being a nobody here this morning? How well ain't it good? Amen. Just to be a nobody. Amen. Say, why? You don't have to give an account for nothing. Just sit here and listen. Just do right. Amen. The pastor, he's loved. He's respected. He's watched. How would you like to be put under the microscope? Amen. Everything you do. Get a haircut like that and everybody notices it. I told him on the TV broadcast they might be calling in asking if he's taking chemotherapy or something. Amen. But he's watched. He's looked up to. Man, I don't know how you are with your preacher here, but my pastor, he's somebody special in my life. Amen. He's looked up to. He's confided in. Amen. Brother Piet, you can talk to him. He's not going to tell everybody else in the church. He ain't like you. He's not going to tell everything he knows. That's an odd job. He can get up here and preach to you knowing what he knows about you. Why, some of you can't hardly even come to church knowing something about somebody. I want to tell somebody. Preacher scrutinized. Every word. I tell everybody I've been timed more than any Olympic runner has ever been timed. Amen. My most of what I say is on tape, and I have had to go back and get a sound man and say, give me that tape. Because I've had to go show somebody, no, that is not what I said. You ever had anybody do that? You said so and so. I just feel like, just pop them upside the head. That's all you can do for them. See, I'm not a bishop. I'm an evangelist. So I can be a striker. He's misunderstood. He's misquoted. He's trusted. He's prayed for. He's listened to. Amen. He's opinionated. Somebody says, well, I don't like that preacher because he's opinionated. I wouldn't give you a nickel for one that wasn't. Thank God he is. Thank God some things makes him mad. How would you like to have a Joel Osteen type? Just, hi. It's so wonderful to see you this morning. Today's going to be a good day for you. Yeah, you're going to have a migraine about midday. Amen. Some of you girls, you're going to wake up in the morning with a big zit on your nose. The good things are going to happen to you. Man, thank God we don't have that. Amen. Man, I am glad I'm an independent, Bible-believing, Bible-thumping Baptist. Amen. He's accountable. He's accountable for you. Take that job on. Amen. Revival, you don't think this meeting is weighing heavy on him? There's some things he wants to see out of your life. Amen. I think he already mentioned it'd be good to see the young people here really get something. If that tells me anything, that tells me y'all are dead. How's that feel? Your nose is big, your feet stink, you don't love Jesus. Need to get right with God. Need to get revived. Amen. Man, change up where you sit. Do something. You got one sitting on the front row. She's in the spit pit. Amen, man, move around, do something. Get out of your little zone you're in. Something happened to you. Get on fire for God. You might as well, you're here. Might as well make the most of it. Amen. Preacher, he's led by God. Believe it or not, he is. He's filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, see, I'm going to say things that he won't say. He's not going to get up and tell you he's filled with the Spirit. I'll tell you what, God shows him what to preach. You ever do this? You ever say, man, he was preaching right at me. No kidding. That's what he's paid to do. Amen. That's his job. Why, what kind of pastor would he be if he didn't? Amen, amen. So look, let's thank God for a pastor. Number one, let's look at the church. Let's look at the politics of the church, the government of the local church. Today, there's a lot of misunderstandings about the church and what we're supposed to do, our biblical responsibilities and all that. There's two ordinances in the local church. That's the Lord's Supper and baptism. Amen. There's two offices. That's bishops and the deacons. You know what deacons were for? Here's what the deacons were for. In the New Testament church, when those believers got together, when they got together, they had widows. Amen. Somebody's husband would die. Part of the church's job was to take care of the widows. And I'm not talking about just giving them a little money every month or something like that. No, they fed them every day. You ever read over there in the book of Acts, the daily ministration? They set up tables and fed all the widows. They fed them. And them apostles, they got together, and them guys, they said, man, we can't do this and preach the word of God too. So they appointed them some deacons. And that was their job. Their job was never to be over a little advisory board, amen, and keep the pastor in check. That was never their job. And if you, I don't know if you got deacons here or not, but if you're a sneaking deacon in here, a demon deacon, and you're out of the will of God, and you're talking about your preacher and all that, I'm telling you, you deserve to be horsewhipped. Run out of town on a rail, tarred and feathered. Good preaching, Brother Mark. Amen. Our churches nowadays, they get a board of trustees. Now that right there can become really dangerous. Amen. Because that board of trustees, they're the conscience of the church. No. It was never meant to be that way. I was in a church here not too long ago and preaching revival, a little small church. They had a board of trustees. They had about 30 members and they had 6 trustees. And some of them, I wouldn't put them over a daily vacation Bible school. And they're making major decisions in the church. Well, buddy, I waged war against them that week. I went out of my way to make them mad. That was my job that week. Amen. And those guys, one of the fellows there had the youth department. And he wanted $100 so they could go skating. And one of the board members says, no, we ain't doing that. Without talking to the preacher or nothing. I'm telling you, it can get to be a mess. Church was never meant to be operated that way. Amen, amen. Now, I know churches have assistant pastors now, and they have youth pastors and all that, and all that's good. If you do it right, it's all right. But if it's wrong, it is wrong. I can't tell you how many churches I've been involved with that's the assistant pastor splitting. I can't tell you how many the youth pastor has split. I know a bunch of them that way. Amen. So who splits churches? You? Me? I've known evangelists split their home church. Amen. Thank God for the church of the living God.
Amen.
Amen. Do you realize what you got here today? Man, hearing, I'm excited about coming to a church in New England. I can't imagine living here and having a church like this here. Do you realize what you got? Hey, man, thank God you got a place you can shout this morning. You got a place that's going to tell you the truth, watches for your soul. Got a pastor that loves you when you're half retarded. Would you, man, you got somebody that loves you when you're unlovable. Man, what a blessing. This is a place where you even fit in. As weird as you are, you fit in here. Amen. This is your place. Nobody's gonna run you off. They can't run you off. Man, this is where you go. This is your church. You're not dream about missing Sunday school. Amen. I don't understand some of the thinking nowadays. Man, I'd feel like a worm if I missed Sunday school. Don't come on Wednesday night. Well, you sorry, dog. Amen. What in the world? What are you doing that's that important? Man, this is where the saints meet. Your church, are you in?
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the church. Got other people that are actually your friends. Real friends. Amen. Man, the best friends I've got is in Christianity. I never had no good friends before I saved. Thank God for the church. And over all that, the most important place you've got on this earth, he's the boss. Amen. You say, well, you don't have to be here all the time. Here's the catchphrases you hear when you know somebody's disgruntled or getting ready to get out. Here's one of them. I just ain't getting fed there anymore. Amen. But I'll tell you, when people sitting right here, when you get disgruntled, start getting backslid, you'll use that one. Or they'll use this one. You just don't know what's going on there like I do. I'll tell you what's going on here. There's a bunch of old sinners saved by the grace of God that deserve to be in hell with gasoline britches on. And God allowed us to have the most important place. Amen. This is more important than the Pentagon this morning.
Yeah.
More important than the Senate.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather hear Brother Piet than Barack Obama any day.
Yeah.
I'd rather have an audience with him than I would Ted Kennedy or John Kerry or Hillary or any of the rest of the bozos. Amen. Say, why? We're at the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Thank God. Amen. And man, what an important place this is. Amen. The church, I wrote this down, is an autonomous ecclesiastical body of born again, blood bought, sold out, Bible believing, bunch of misfits that deserve hell, the people of a book who led by God and the man of God called our pastor.
Yeah.
Is that you? Or are you still a worldling? Amen. I mean, have you not even got over some of the little superficial sins that you need to be just a good church member? You still getting high every once in a while? Go out and roll your big fat joint up every once in a while. You still, is that still you? Going out and get you a drink every now and then, buy you a six pack. You know, redneck, white socks, and blue ribbon beer, is that you? Well, I got to have my beer when I watch my football. You worldling, you ain't right. Amen? I like them old country churches that have the old church covenant on the wall. You ever seen those? Said, by the grace of God, we covenant ourselves together, you know, into a body of born-again believers. And it goes on there. It says, man, it's got it all on there. We have decided that we will shun tattling, gossip, the use of tobacco in any form, intoxicating beverages. We will stay away from drink and alcohol. Amen. We will conduct ourselves civilly and spiritually, in a spiritual manner. Is that you? Can you submit? Are you a rebel? I'll tell you, some of the worst guys I've run around with and run into here in the last 10 years is somebody that's been to Bible school for 3 years.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they get out of Bible school and they know everything. They can't submit to nobody. Now it really is getting quiet. I went to Bible school at Pensacola Bible Institute. And one of the things, now my old preacher, he was preaching when I got saved. A lot of people say they know him, they don't know him at all. I know him. And 26 years ago, he's preaching when I got saved. And I know one thing that makes him mad. And one thing that makes him mad is a young man that's went through Bible school there, and he goes to a little small church like this and causes a problem. I've literally seen him foam at the mouth so mad. He wasn't taught that way, man. Boy, he gets so mad. Amen. So I'm telling you, sitting here, and I ain't picking on nobody, but if I was, I'd pick you out of the crowd. This church and what God's given you here is a blessing in life. And if you do anything to hurt this church, you got the devils moving around in your life. Amen. So let me talk about this. Not only the church of God, but the call of the man of God. It's a supernatural call. It's a divine calling. Man didn't call him. God did. And when man stands behind the sacred desk here, I'm telling you, you walk up here with fear and trembling. Do you know how much accountability there is behind here? I've got to give an account for everything I say this week. Every time I get behind the pulpit, I've got to give an account for what I do here. Man, lives hang in the balance. Amen. There's people that listen to me and they'll follow me more than they would their pastor. I'm telling you, that's a dangerous situation. And my job, if I leave the church in the last night, if that church ain't closer to their God and their pastor, I ain't done my job. Amen. But his call is, it's a strange call. He's got to give some of you all more time than he does his own family. It's a lonely job. There's things that he can't even tell his own wife. You know why? She wouldn't understand. Say, why? Her job is him. And when folks are getting mad at him and poke at him, she takes it personally. Amen. And there's some things pastor can't even tell his wife. Say, why? She'd scratch your eyes out. Amen. And she might not be as forgiving as he is. Folks, I've been with pastors. I've been with them that I don't understand how they could let somebody talk to them the way they do and still love them. that amazes me. The job that that office that Brother Piet has is amazes me. I'm a constant observer of it. If there's one thing I know about, it's that office. Say, why? I'm with a different pastor every week of my life. Since the second week in January, I've been in straight meetings all over the country and up in Canada. I'm with different pastors every week. I know them. And what you got here, you got you a good one.
Amen,
amen, amen. And I know already. See, I'm saying this stuff while he's sitting here. It's probably a little awkward for him. But I know already by just being here, picked up the airport yesterday, I know already there's a real alarming concern about this week. He's concerned about y'all. Amen. Say, why? I don't know all particulars, but it's probably because y'all have gotten cold. Some things has happened in the church. Amen. And he's scared to death. It's going to just have the trickle effect and get you too. Thank God for your pastor.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Other than your mama, there ain't nobody going to pray for you like he does. Amen. I talked to my preacher yesterday. Amen. He calls, checks up on me. I call in and check in and home. Amen. How's it going, Brother Mark? How you doing? He knows if I'm by myself for a few weeks, he'll call a couple times during the week. How you doing, buddy? You getting lonely? How's them Yankees treating you? They treat you bad. We'll get a goon squad together and we'll come up there. Rebel flag waving in the wind. Hey, man, we still got militia in Alabama. We'll call up the Alabama militia. But he calls and checks in on me, and I know when something's bothering him. I can tell when I talk to him. I know when I come to a church when something's bothering the pastor. Say, what's bothering him? You. I heard one preacher say, Brother Mark said, there's something I hate about the ministry. I said, what's that? He said, the consequences of people that love the world more than they love God. He said, the consequences that come, he says, I can do nothing about it. He says, all I can do is set the table, pray for them, love them, preach to them. He said, I can't go to their house and I can't get the beer out of the refrigerator. I can't go out there in their car and turn the bad music off on it. Says all I can do is love them, pray for them. How would you like that job? It's almost like being a daddy and not being able to whip anybody. I mean, what'd be easier to do is just, you know, if you've backslid, just get a bunch of the guys together and hold you down and let the pastor just whoop the daylights out of you. But that ain't the way it works. Amen. It's spiritual. Amen. And this week we want God to deal with your hearts. Amen. When's the last time he has? Has he ever? Will you let him in there? You ever heard that song? Jesse's always teasing me about singing. He said, there's a place in my heart that even I don't go. I got some things hidden there. I don't want no one to know, but he's handing me the key, and he wants the both of us to go in. Amen. Will you let him in your heart? How about God? Can he open that up this morning? Look around in there and see what's going on? Boy, this is a little rough. Feels tight. Amen. You kids sitting here, we got the teenagers in here, don't we? You know what I've been preaching about the last year? MySpace.com. Facebook, MySpace. Amen. I've been preaching against it everywhere I go.
Amen.
Say, why? I'm telling you, that's wicked. You say, why mention that now? Because I want to. Amen. You say, well, I don't think it's wrong. All right, let me reason with you. When you sign up for your little MySpace account or whatever, you know, when you put your little profile in there, you know, whether whoever you are, you know, you can change your name. You can, if you're a boy, you can call yourself Hercules or something, you know. And if you're a girl, you can be Brittany or whatever you want to be. And you put on there your little, you know, your little profile, and there's a place on there that says sexual orientation. You put in there whether you're gay or straight. That means you're signing up in a system there that has queers in it. That ought to be enough. Amen? I mean, if I'm going to join the NRA and they're going to ask me whether I'm gay or straight, guess what? Queers with a gun? Huh? I ain't getting involved in it. I ain't Johnning. I'm not Johnning up. That's just one simple little, I mean, that ought to be enough. And then kids, look at me. All the backslid kids that were raised in church that are rebels, all of them have a site. My friends, my movies, my music. Amen. They got one over there, Absalom. We heard a message at Youth Camp West Virginia. Me and Jesse was there. A guy preached on Absalom. And Absalom, before he died, he went and built a pillar. Called it Absalom's Place. Absalom had a MySpace. I tell them all the time, I remember that song years ago, I think Frank Sinatra sang it. It says, and for all the world to see, there's a statue of a man. Y'all remember that song? It said, one that let love go on by or something. It says, he's the statue of a fool. It said, and on his cheek there be a golden tear placed there to be. It said, what is it? Statue of a fool. You know what you do when you build a MySpace account? You got your little rock and roll on there and your little Christian rock and your little Ray Bolts and your movies and your other friends that write little questionable things in there. You know what you do? You just got a little statue of a fool just fooling around with the world out there. MySpace. iPhone. iPod. iFool. Amen. And you kids, I'm trying to help you out. You get out in there, they'll scoop you up. Amen. They got predators surf around in there. If you got a MySpace account, you know what? You know what people do? They go on there and here's, you know, Buffy says hi. It's got a little picture of a cat or something. You know, it's a little Buffy's little emblem. You know what a pervert will do? He'll take that little emblem and he'll use it and he'll act like he's Buffy. And the whole time he's writing, he's finding little things that you write about. Like where you like to shop or go to the mall or what you like to do or what songs you listen to. And he's writing you instead of that girl. And after a while, he finds out where you go to school, when your mom and dad's at home, when they ain't. Better be careful. That's why the preacher preaches like he does. Amen. Say, why? We love you. Amen. The call of God. You think it's fun getting up here and, amen, knowing you're going to say some things that are controversial and sometimes preachers got to preach some things that are hard, and he knows it. Well, this is liable to blow them out of the water. You know, I got some there that just barely hang. They get offended on every little thing I say. They're surely going to get mad if I say that. And he goes ahead and says it anyways. It's a lonely job. You better thank God for your pastor. There's two words in the ministry, especially if you've been involved in the ministry any amount of time. There's two words you got to watch out for. It's frustrated ambition.
Yeah.
When you start desiring that office of dedication that he's got without wanting to pay the cost, you'll mess things up. Amen. You know who spurs that on a lot of times? Wives, women. The women in the church can be cruel. They're like a bunch of old hens. In the hen house, if one hen gets a little old abrasion on her or something, they'll peck her to death. Find somebody, amen, messed up. Or I've heard my pastor say, let me love those folks. Y'all leave them alone. Ain't you ever messed up? Let me pastor them. Don't pick them apart. God might be able to do something.
Yeah.
Amen. Then the commission of the things of God, and I got to close, but anymore, we're having to deal with apostasy, heresy. You wouldn't believe how much heresy is around, even in Bible-believing churches. Me and Brother Jesse was clicking around on his computer. It talks to you, you know. It talks in tongues. Because he plays it so fast, you can't hardly enter. There's an old boy on there last night. We went on there, and it says, so-and-so slams repentance. He's preaching against repentance. He had a track in his hand, and it says, admit you're a sinner. You know, call on the Lord. Repent of your sin. He just took that repent of your sin and just destroyed it. I said, why? That's easy believism. That's when you can go to the door or somebody and say, repeat after me. You know, you believe in God? Well, yeah. You believe Jesus God? Yeah. Well, say this prayer. I'm a sinner. I deserve to be in hell. I'm a sinner. I deserve to be in hell. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Thank you for saving my soul. And they'll go on and they'll get back to church. How many did you win today? 30? How many did you win? 40? One church that run about 500 people, they said they had 10,000 baptisms in 1 year. I've done the math. You got to baptize over 300 and some people every service. How do you do that? In the power of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Boom. In the power of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Boom. Or just get a spray, you know.
Amen.
But you know why you got a pastor? He'll preach again it. Hyper-Calvinism's made a comeback in America. Hyper-dispensationalism. They've been a Christian, don't sin. You don't need an altar. You don't need to baptize anybody. Paul didn't baptize. I didn't come to baptize. You nut. Fool. Amen. After a while, before you know it, nobody gets saved. Then before you know it, you look out and all you got is other nerds just like you are. What does a pastor do? Holds that stuff in check. You ever had anybody get behind this pulpit and preach something that y'all knew the preacher preached against? He'll say something and just go, You know what that's a sign of? That's a sign of having a good pastor. And Brother Piet, you can look and see his ears turn red behind him. And he just don't say nothing. Just when the guy leaves, he'll get up and say, you know, y'all know that wasn't right. That's a good pastor. Amen. Where would you be right now if it wasn't for him? I don't know. We got a few minutes for church. I know you're so dignified you won't do this, but maybe between now and church starts, maybe you can just tell him, thank you, preacher. Amen. I'm with you. You can count on me. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for pastors. God bless him. Use him. Grant him the desire of his heart. Lord, bless him and his family. God, touch his boy. And Lord, he's having a good day today. Help him have a good week. Amen. Lord, touch him. And God, meet with us. Lord, we need you here today. God, save souls, Lord. And bring folks out. It's been invited and had their door knocked on. Lord, maybe they're waiting downstairs to come in even now. Save souls here today. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.